Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rave Reviews Book Club's Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio Show, Bring on the Spotlight. I am your guest host today, Jan Sykes, coming to you from Plano, Texas. Our host, Wendy, was unable to be here today. This segment of Bring on the Spotlight is being sponsored by another supportive RRBC member, RISA author John Fioravante, author of Passion and Struggle. And we're going to hear more about his book a little bit later in this broadcast. Gracing us with her presence today from Nevada City, California, is D.L. Finn, poet and author of Just Her Poetry, Seasons of a Soul. Listeners, if you have any questions or comments for Denise during our live show, please feel free to join in on Twitter by using the hashtag RRBC Bring on the Spotlight. Or if you have pre-registered your phone number, you can call into the studio with your questions and comments. We would love to chat with you. So thank you for joining us today, Denise. It is really an honor to have you on the show.
Oh, I'm excited to be here, Jan. Thank you.
In your bio, Denise, it mentions that you are an independent California local who encourages everyone to embrace their inner child. You were born and raised in the foggy Bay Area, but in 1990, you relocated with your husband, kids, dogs, and cats to Nevada City in the Sierra foothills. Our listeners enjoy learning about the person behind the words, so tell us a bit about yourself, your family, your hobbies, and your pets.
Well, I've been married 36 years, and I have three kids, two girls and a boy, and four grandchildren. And I have five cats, a dog, and a goldfish that the cats love. And hobbies, I love to take pictures. I'm really big in taking pictures and kind of drive my family nuts with that. And I love walking in nature and, of course, writing and reading.
Yeah.
And all the good stuff.
Absolutely. And you are absolutely an avid reader. I'm amazed at how many reviews you post per month. And wow. So, obviously you love reading.
I do love reading. And we have a lot of good writers in the group. So.
Oh, we do. And you're so right about that. So,
it's just amazing.
Does the goldfish ever feel threatened by all the cats?
No, he has a little fish tank that the water comes down and the cats will drink the water and they play with the outside of it and he looks at them. It's really cute.
Oh,
they're good buddies.
Well, I know that you and your husband have a passion for motorcycling and some of your poetry you have written from the back of the Harley. Do you always ride with him or do you have your own bike?
No, I would be dangerous if I drove it. I'm not. I'm in my own little world most of the time, so it's like you don't want me driving a motorcycle. But no, I always on the back, and I don't know what made me come up with the idea to try writing poetry, but it worked. You know, I was able to use his back as a table and kind of write, and the wind's blowing. I haven't lost anything yet. I was kind of worried a paper would go or a pen, and so far so good. The only thing I've lost so far has been a glove.
Well, it's very hard to write with gloves on, unless
it
you
is.
Have the ones that have the fingertips.
I do have those, but then if you take the other ones off, fortunately people have picked it up. I always wonder what I look like when people are driving by. What is that lady doing?
Oh, maybe they muse that maybe you're doing artwork I'm sure they could never imagine that you were writing poetry. That's a beautiful experience. So let's talk a little bit about your book, the Just Her Poetry, Seasons of a Soul. The book description states, take a journey with D.L. Finn as she blends her love of nature with her deepest emotions. Sit with her on the forest floor, observing its tranquil beauty, or stroll along the ocean's shore, admiring the vastness of its horizon. Here in these peaceful moments, you'll be able to experience her thoughts and feelings in the light and in the darkness. This is a thought-provoking collection of poetry that invites the reader into all the seasons of the soul. So, Denise, tell our listeners just a bit more about this book and kind of what inspired you to write it and to divide it up into these sections. To me, that's what makes this such a unique piece of work. And I love that, you know, it's easy sometimes to write about the light, but it's not so easy sometimes to write about the darkness. And the way you did that, I thought was brilliant. So talk to us a little bit about that whole process.
Well, I'm big on writing in the nature. I like to go out in nature and I write what I see, and then my feelings come through what I'm seeing. So it's kind of a unique experience for me. I don't know if I try to do it. It just kind of happens. And I did it over a year's time, and I realized, well, I'm doing all four seasons, so I wanted to include all four seasons in the book, and that went from that. But then a lot of my poetry was separate from the emotion, you know, my emotions, so I wanted to give that an area too. And a lot of my poetry I'll vent, and that didn't make the book. When I get real mad, I'll sit down and I'll get it out of me, and then I'll get to the good poetry. But once I get, I have to go kind of work through it to get to that point. But then I thought, well, then I should have a separate area for that. And it was almost two books, and I thought, no, I'm going to combine it and just do two parts. So I did the nature part and what I considered the emotion part.
Right.
Kind of put it all into one.
So and just what you said about venting, that has to be very therapeutic.
Oh, it feels wonderful. No one will ever see some of the poetry I've written, and I use a lot of swear words. And then I get through it, then I'm okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I have to wonder, how did you learn to write poetry? Or did the poetry just, was it just there? Was it, tell me about that. Like when do you first remember writing a poem and that experience?
I think when I was younger, I tried to do the rhyming ones that we did in school, where you kind of do the roses are red, violets are blue, and then you'd insert different words type of thing. But I never really read poetry till I got a little bit older. And then I took a poetry class in college and just really fell in love with it, all the different types. But I love the free verse, of course, the most, because I can kind of just go in a trance and write what I'm feeling and thinking, as opposed to having to get into we have to do this many words and it has to rhyme and all the other parts to the more conventional poetry. But and then it just kind of happened, and I didn't think I was very good at it. My husband goes, no, you're good. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
Well,
it's hard when
your
family tells you, or you're kind of like, okay.
Well, that's true. You know, they love us and they want to be kind to us. But when other people who have nothing invested in you tell you it's good, then you kind of start to believe it. Or at least I hope you do.
Yes. And it's just, it's a part of me now. It's how I think I express myself the best in poetry. I can get everything out in few words.
Poetry is, to me, is always a very personal, in-depth. I think poets, much like songwriters, reveal their soul through poetry. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And a part of it did start out, I was trying to write lyrics to my husband's music, and I was terrible at that. But then I found I could do something similar, and it became poetry. So, because I never could quite get the beat of music. I'm probably the most unmusical person, at least in our family. Everybody else is very gifted.
Oh, well, you have your gift, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Have a little bit of action over on Twitter, so I'm going to run over and kind of catch us up with that. Ted Berner says, animal lovers are the best, and he's referring to your menagerie of animals at your home.
That is very true. I won't argue. They're very good
Beam
company.
Week. Yes, they are. Beam Week says, writing poetry while riding on the back of a Harley sounds like the makings of a great novel. Well, there you go, my dear.
That's true. I might have to consider that.
Fiza Pathan says, I love nature too. I practice forest bathing, which is the act of drowning your senses in nature. Which is the best place for you, Denise, ma'am, to drown yourself in nature?
I do that often.
I know that you had posted something about your husband had made this walking, it sounded like paradise, the walking trail or whatever.
We call it the magical trail.
The magical trail. So is that kind of a go-to for you?
Yes. We actually had to do that to walk the dog because at the time we kept running into packs of dogs and dog fights. So we decided to do it on our own property. So he's been out there clearing for the past year and we walk and we put benches and decorated it. And I found a little bench I sit on and just sit out there. It's peaceful.
It sounds like heaven.
It really is. And I'm really spoiled.
That's wonderful that you're spoiled. Being that I live in a big city, that just sounds like heaven to me for sure.
It is.
Nani Jewel says, there's no way that we will ever believe that you get angry, DL Finn. No way.
Well, ask my kids. I promise.
Beam says poets paint great visuals with their words. I totally agree with that. And that's one thing that I think you are very, very excellent at. And like, for instance, the poem that you wrote about fall and the colors, and it was so easy to visualize exactly what you were seeing just the way that you put it together. So I would agree with that you're able to paint great visuals with few words. I mean, poems are not long, kind of like songs. And you can tell a lot within a very limited number of words.
And it helps your writing because you've learned to do that.
Oh, I think that would be very, very true. That's a good point. So your works include children's books, adult fiction, your autobiography, and poetry. Did you plan when you started out to write across genres?
Oh, absolutely not. I actually started just writing children's books and never thought I'd veer from that. But then I started doing the poetry and then I kind of had other ideas for adult stuff and it just kind of went in different directions. I don't even know where I'm going next, to be honest with you. I'm working on so many different things. So it's kind of wherever I go.
Where the balloons pull you.
Exactly.
Back on Twitter, Nani says, I don't think you learn to write poetry. I think that form of writing just comes to you. It is definitely something everyone can't do. I would agree with that. What do you think?
I don't know where it came from, so I guess I would have to agree with it. It just kind of channels through me how I'm feeling and what I'm seeing. It's just how I've always done it or started doing it.
Right. I think that's a very good way of putting it, to kind of move yourself out of the way and let it channel.
It's kind of like contacting your soul is how I look at it.
That's true. Very, very good way to look at it. Gwen Plano says, your poetry opens my heart with all the references to nature. What is the greatest gift that nature has given you?
Peace. I think I find a lot of peace in nature. And I feel like I can contact my soul and the universe and everything around me. I feel like a part of it.
So it feeds
you. It's hard to describe. I could write it down and tell you really easily. But to just tell you talking about it is really hard for me.
I understand. Beam Week says, now I want a magical trail.
He can come see your magical trail.
Yeah, you live in the country, Beam. Make your own.
Yeah.
Shirley Slaughter has joined us. She says, sorry I'm late. But she says, Denise, you bring your poetry to life. At least I can connect with it. And that's saying something.
Well, I'm glad, Shirley. That makes
and so
me
there
happy.
Again, it's back to that, yes, your family says, oh, I like this, this is good. But then when you hear something like that, someone who maybe doesn't always read poetry, but yet can connect with what you've written, I think that's very high praise.
And I think that's why I write it, for people to connect that don't normally connect.
Okay, yeah. Faiza Pathan would like to know what you're currently working on.
Oh, goodness.
And that
I decided to do the nano.
Like yes.
So I'm trying to write a book in a month, which is completely crazy.
It is. I agree.
And I lost a chapter in one day, so I thought, oh, no. So I had to rewrite that whole thing. But I'm also got to edit a new Evil Dwell book that I'm in the middle of. And then I started a short story collection, and I have a kid's short story I'm working on. And I feel like there's one more thing I'm working on. And I'm starting another poetry book, so I think that's everything.
Your novels all kind of have a central theme, and that being of the forces of good and bad, and of the angels and the not so nice angels. And so where does that kind of come from in your background?
I think it stems from when I was 14 and I was in a coma and actually had a visitation by an angel where I was told I wasn't done. I had more to do, so I always feel that in my life, so I try to put that in my writing and offer people hope that there's much more around us, and we got to believe that the good is going to win over the evil, and that's how I approach life and writing.
And I love that. I do. I believe that, too. And what a beautiful experience to have that absolutely saved your life.
It did, and it's just amazing. And I've heard it from a few other people I've ran into, and I'm always amazed they've had exactly the same words and the same experience. It's mm-hmm. chilling almost.
And probably the same angel.
Yeah, it could be. Very busy angel.
Beam Weeks says writing poetry is like contacting your soul. Well put, D.L. Finn.
Exactly, yes.
I love that. Well, we're going to switch gears a little bit. You've been a longstanding and supportive member of RRBC. And so I'd like to ask, I'm curious, how did you come to know about the Rave Reviews Book Club?
Well, I was scrolling along Twitter one day, and I think it was John Howe had a join RRBC, and I thought, what is that? And I never join things. And for some reason, that day I went over and looked just out of curiosity, and I thought, wow, this is a like-minded thinking process where I was trying to read other books, people's books, and get them, you know, try to get to read each other's books. And I said, this is perfect. So I joined and haven't regretted a moment of it.
I love that. And that kind of sounds like an angel nudge to me.
A big one. Because I'm the quiet type that doesn't join anything. And I'm surprised when I do things sometimes. I'm like, I don't normally do that, but here I am.
So how do you think that being involved in the RRBC community has benefited you?
Oh, in every way. I think it's made me just a better writer. I've learned so much and learned to pay more attention to details and support people and be supported, which I'm amazed at how much support you get. And just, I even learned how to write a review. I hadn't been doing any of that.
And now you write them a lot.
Constantly, yes.
Yes, you do. And so... You are also a member of the Rave Writers International Society of Authors, or RISA. So how did it make you feel when you learned that you had been accepted into RISA?
I was really shocked. I'm just going to try, you know, and I had no expectations. And I was really shocked and honored. I mean, I can't believe to be a part of such an amazing group of people. I mean, these are just amazing people.
I see it as like the ultimate professional organization, because you don't just pay a membership and get in. It has to be on the merit of your writing. And so, I too when I was invited was shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, not
exactly.
me. But so for me, being a member, I feel like it kind of holds my feet to the fire. How do you feel about that?
I really kind of find myself, it stresses me a little because I want everything to be good now. And I will go the extra step where I wasn't doing that before. Like, okay, I've done it. It's ready. And no, now I take a second look and I make sure. And I have a lot of spelling apps and things that I check, double and triple check, and a couple of writing programs I'll run things through. And I'm really much more detail-oriented than I used to be.
Right. And you mentioned earlier that writing poetry has been helpful in learning to use words without so many words. And I have a huge problem with that. When I write, I tend to be very wordy. I think you're right about that would definitely be beneficial in learning to tighten up what you're writing and not waste words.
Exactly. That and short stories helps doing that, too.
That is so true. That
say
is
a
so
lot
true.
And a little bit. Where a novel, you can kind of go on and talk about what the couch looks
true.
Like.
True. True. Back on Twitter, Beam Week says, I'm the opposite, DL. I join everything. But the only one that has really made a difference has been RRBC and the RRBC community. Well said, Beam.
I agree.
Shirley Slaughter says, Denise, it's funny how you can find your way to connect with something by accident, or is it meant to be? I think we'll go with that latter one, Shirley.
Yeah, me too.
I think so too. You know, you're also a member of the RRBC's 100 Club, which means that you've reviewed over 100 books. Do you believe reading makes you a better writer?
Oh, absolutely. I've made a point of reading more, and you know, you can tell by how, you know, I can base my own, I don't know how to describe this, I'm getting all tongue-tied, but how I write, kind of, I see the styles of others' writers, and I've developed my own style, I think, out of it. You know, it's become more distinctive.
That makes sense.
And I see everybody else's.
Because, you know, we are unique. We each have our own, you could give all of us the same topic to write on, which has really just kind of happened with the RISA write-up tour.
I was going to say the same thing. It's been amazing.
Yeah, but so you get all these different perspectives, and it's all because we are each unique. So we have our own footprint, our own. But yeah, I agree. Reading, I don't. When I meet an author who says they don't read, you can bet I'm not going to pick up their book. I don't think you can be an author and not read. That's just my own personal opinion.
No, and I don't know too many famous authors that don't read.
No, I don't know any that would come
exactly.
out publicly and say, no, I don't read. In fact, they say the opposite. Well, talking about the writing process, do you have any advice that you would give to maybe a new writer or an aspiring writer?
Keep learning and keep trying would be my big thing, and just educate yourself as much as you can, but also tap into your creativity and find what works for you. And education, I think, is important, and interacting with other authors has been very, very enlightening and learning. And just keep doing it. You can't give up. And if you hear one no or one I don't like that, you fix it or, you know, do what you need to do and keep learning. I guess keep learning is the big thing for me.
I would agree with that. And then also you touched on something that I'd like to go a little further with, in that, you know, if someone says, you know, well, I really didn't like that. And then they say, why? I look at that really closely, because that helps me learn. And yes, I've had bad reviews. I've had criticism. But all it made me do was want to do better or to pull it down and fix it. And
yeah,
so,
I might have my feelings hurt for a minute, but then I sit and think about it logically and go, yes, I can see their point. And if I don't see their point, if they're just, you know, there's been a couple that have just been mean, that you could tell that's what they do. then I ignore that. But for the most part, I think if somebody's saying or you keep getting a theme, it's like, okay, I need to look at this and make some changes. And I don't let it stop me, actually. I let it fuel me to do better.
Well, and I think that is what makes you a very special writer. I really do, because if we're not open to learning and growing, then we're not ever going to be better. So it has to be that whole process.
Oh, no, and you're always learning and growing. So it's constant.
Yes, it is.
So much to learn.
They say that that's why we're here.
Exactly.
That's why we have a body, and that's why we're here.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I am just amazed at how fast 30 minutes goes. I really am.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go back over to Twitter. We do have a couple of more comments. One from Faiza Pathan. She says, DL Finn, good luck to you on all your projects. Denise, ma'am, now I'm keen on reading your poetry. Oh, good. Oh, see,
thank you.
You picked up a reader.
Yay.
Vosh JQ says, Denise is one of the most supportive members of RRBC. I appreciate her so much. I do too, Vashti, and I agree with that. And thank you for all that you do and supporting all of us, because you do a lot.
You guys are too. So,
well, you know, that's what we are. We are a community, and in my mind, a community supports itself. And
exactly.
So that's kind of... Oh, okay. Sorry. Beam says, Jan, you have two callers. I had no idea because I was looking at Twitter. Okay. Well, we do have a couple of callers, and we're going to go and talk to them. The first one is Stephen Gies. Hello, Stephen.
Hi.
Sorry,
Hi,
you've been holding. I was looking at Twitter.
That's all right. I was listening to a great podcast. I enjoyed hearing you too.
Thank you.
You're running short on time. Let me ask my question real quick. Denise,
sure.
Everything that writers do now is branching out and more into multimedia, you know, like videos of you reading your poems or live interaction with your fans. What do you see yourself doing next? Or like 20 years from now, what do you think you'd look back and see that you did with your writing?
Oh, gosh. I just go day to day. I can't really think that far ahead. Kind of scares me.
Sure.
But
I
never thought I would do videos and talk and do what I'm doing right now. So I think just probably interacting more is what I need to do. I need to get out more and leave my house actually once in a while.
Maybe do
goal.
Some live things with your fans.
Like so do what?
Live podcasting, like some live podcasting or something where you could interact more with your fans.
Yes, and it's funny. My daughter is starting to do that. She's starting a podcast, and she also writes. And so I can see that I'm going to be pushed into that very soon. Whether I like it or not.
That's awesome.
Sure, I think that's worth going next if that answers your question.
Thank you, Stephen. Thanks for calling in, and we're glad that you're listening and glad that you've enjoyed what we've done so far. And again, thanks for calling in. You have a great day.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Shirley. I'm so sorry you've been holding again. I was looking at Twitter instead of my studio. My bad.
Well,
how are you this morning?
I went on Twitter to get your attention. I said, Jan, I'm home.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Shirley.
Hello, Denise.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say hello to you and just to let you know, the one question I wanted to ask you is, how do you stay on top of everything that you do in this club? You're so organized. You're not the only one, but you're one of the many admirers that I have in this club.
Oh, thank you. Well, no, I'm not organized at all.
Are you serious?
No, I try to keep everything in my mind, and I'm kind of finding that's not working anymore. So I try to take notes, but then I lose the notes. So I haven't quite figured it out yet.
Well, at least I don't feel bad. Wow.
I have piles everywhere.
Yeah. All right. I just wanted to say hello to you.
Oh, hello. Thank you, Shirley.
Okay, thank you,
bye-bye.
Shirley. Sorry I kept you waiting so long.
That's okay. It happens.
Have a good day, hon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's we're almost out of time, and so we are going to do a little listening to a commercial for the sponsor for our show today. It's just been amazing to talk with you and to learn more about you, and congratulations to you for being the RRBC's Spotlight author for this month.
Oh, thank you. I've been loving every minute of it, and been
oh,
so happy
good.
Talking to you this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Well, stay on
this
the line. Don't go away.
I won't.
But we are we're going to listen to a commercial for our sponsor, which was Passion and Struggle by John Fioravanti.
Marco Rossini is a historian with no political aspirations and no desire for power. However, he possesses unique knowledge that is about to change his life. He knows the human history of the planet Earth. As we begin the Genesis saga in Passion and Struggle by John Fioravanti, the year is 2796 CE, and on the planet Genesis, human civilization looks very similar to the world it left behind. One difference dominates. A church, created by the United Nations to compel peace, has ruled for seven centuries. Now, in the wake of a brutal war that aligned humanity with the new rulers of Earth, the old ways have been shattered, and Genesis needs a new, egalitarian government. Marco is the right man to help lead the change, but as the professor soon discovers, the battle between church and state is far from over, and both sides are willing to spill blood. Struggling to remake his world, to find love, and to survive in troubled political waters, can Marco Rossini change history? Passion and Struggle by John Fioravanti, available now in paperback and for Kindle ebook.
Well, that sounds like a really good read, too.
It does.
I want to say thank you to everybody who joined us in the Peanut Gallery today on Twitter. And for those
thank
who
you.
Called in, again, my apologies for keeping you guys waiting. Denise, I would recommend that after the show, you stop by on Twitter and respond to the comments, because I did not get to all of them. And that's always a good thing.
I will do that.
So I want to just, again, thank you for sharing your poetry book, Just Her Poetry, Seasons of the Soul, with us today. And,
I was happy to. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. And listeners, your reviews help authors get their books discovered. So if you've read a fabulous book, post your review.
Absolutely.
So this is your guest host, Jan Sykes, thanking you for tuning in today and listening to Bring on the Spotlight, a Rave Waves production. Be sure to join us next time for another episode of Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio, where all things literary are our passion. Until next time, happy reading. And again, Denise, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a true pleasure.
Thank you for having me. I've just loved every moment of it.
Good. Okay. Well, you all have a good day. Till next time.
Thank you.